Psalm 122:1 says this. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We'll sing it one time through, then you join us a second time. Psalm 122, verse number 1. Here's how it goes.
I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house.
Try it with
of
us.
The Lord.
Oh, I was glad when they said unto me,
I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Were you glad somebody said to you tonight, let's go to church? Amen. You know, you're here only one of two reasons. You're here because you have to be, or you're here because you want to be. And I hope tonight you're here because you were glad someone said to you, let's go to the house of God. Go to Psalm 55:17. Here's another one. Psalm 55:17. Do I need to tighten it up for you, Kimbers? Do you have it? Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Here's how it goes, Psalm 55:17.
Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. Evening and morning and at noon.
Try it with us. Psalm 55:17.
Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice, he shall hear my voice, evening and morning and at noon. Evening and morning and at noon.
Isn't that good? You know, the Bible tells us to speak to ourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. And I've found over the years one of the greatest ways to lodge the Word of God in my heart has been to sing it. Amen? You think of all the tunes and all the ditties before you were saved that are still lodged in your heart. You take music and all of its power, put the Word of God to it, and it'll lodge in your heart. And it's a good thing to sing Scripture songs, not just on a Sunday, but you know, Monday morning in rush hour traffic. Amen? When you hit your finger, carpenters, it's a great time to sing a Scripture song. Amen? And get refocused and let the Word of God minister to you and to those that may be around you. Well, we like to sing a couple of songs, and first one I thought would be good would be But for the Blood. I thought But for the Blood would be a good song. And then the second one, This Old Sinner Testifies.
I had no one to blame, I longed to hide my face, I was so ashamed of all the wrong I'd done. But I knew I had to pay, I was bound to face those flames I'd be there today. My friend, but for the blood, but for the blood shed on Calvary's tree, but for the blood there'd be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness, filthy rags, that's all I'd ever be. But for the blood that cleanses, sets me free. Even though I get so low, no devil lets me know I'm undeserving, I'm unworthy of God's love. And yes, I know it's true, but here I am with the chosen few, I'll stand to say, I'm saved just by the blood, but for the blood shed on Calvary's tree, but for the blood there'd be no hope for you and me. For all my righteousness was filthy rags, that's all I'd ever be, but for the blood that cleanses. righteousness. Filthy rags, that's all I'd ever be, but for the blood that cleanses, set me free. Set me free.
Yes, yes.
I've read about the mountains God's removed for his children. Of miracles his loving hands provide. What's really got my hands upraised? Baby, want to shout his praise. Was the day I could say he is mine.
Well, he's a
mountain mover, he's a sea walker, a lily in the desert dry, a rose in the wilderness. Let me tell you who he is. This old sinner testifies he is mine.
I struggle up the mountains, half dead in the desert, angry waves almost covering my eyes.
Just then I see the lily that's been crossed down to get me, pulls me out, and I shout, he is mine.
Well, he's a
mountain mover, he's a sea walker, a lily in the desert dry, a rose in the wilderness. Let me tell you who he is. This old sinner testifies he is mine.
Well, he's a
mountain mover, he's a sea walker, a lily in the desert dry, a rose in the wilderness. Let me tell you who he is. This old sinner testifies he is mine. This old sinner testifies he is mine.
Amen. Just a quick question, guys, before you leave. Are you ready to sing Lord Bless Our Home? Yes? No? What's that? Oh, okay. Well, then we'll do that tomorrow night. Amen. I just wanted to know. I could not hook up with my daughter tonight in the midst of the song service to double-check what we were doing. And I didn't feel right in disrupting the... Well, the penny pipes, right? The penny flute, whatever. I didn't want to disrupt that and talk to her, so we kind of, the last second, Brother Mady, you wouldn't know a thing about that, but the last second, we were trying to get our communications down, and I couldn't ask some of the questions I wanted to ask. But, well, amen. Well, that just gives me more time to preach. All right, Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 127 this evening. Appreciate you coming out. Appreciate you taking the time to be here, and pray tonight that we'd have something to be a help to your heart, to your home. Spoke with your pastor, and we had prayed about what to preach and so forth, and this was the direction that was on your pastor's heart, and I believe that this would be what the Lord would have preached. And so we're going to begin a series tonight out of Psalm 127. When you find that chapter, excuse me, that book of the Bible and that psalm, stand with me, Psalm 127, and we'll read a few verses together, then move into the thoughts this evening. The 127th Psalm, beginning in verse 1, says this. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I draw your attention to verse number 1, where the Bible simply says this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That will serve as the title for the next 4 evenings we're together tonight. Simply this, except the Lord build your house, you will labor in vain that build it. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on this time. Father, thank you, Lord, this evening for the privilege we've had today to be gathered together, called out and gathered together in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in His name tonight, we pray your blessing again upon this time. We pray, Father, as you have promised to do so, that you would honor your word. Lord, we ask simply that we'd have hearts to receive it. Lord, give us teachable spirits. Give us right spirits and clean hearts, that, Father, we might hear what you have for us. And Lord, as we present our homes to you, we ask your blessing upon them. But Lord, help us to yield to your word and will, and yield to your will, Father, and allow you to build our homes. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them and upon what's said and done tonight. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In Psalm 127 begins with this thought, and it's this: except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I want to remind you tonight that the institution of marriage, and if you could say the institution of the home, is not the result of government think tank. It's not the result of the ingenuity of mankind and his ability to adapt socially, but the institution of the home is a God-ordained institution. The home was thought up by God, not man. And you know, anything that you find has been manufactured or presented to someone, it'll always come with an owner's manual on how best to put it together, how best to operate it, and how best to get the most out of it. Now, I want to tell you, the family and the home is under attack today. Do you realize today that in America, the average marriage only lasts 7 years? That means that the moment that you see that couple staring at each other in their eyes, they're looking at their eyes, they're taking these two candles and they're lighting one and they're pledging their lives to one another, that the appliances that go with the relationship will probably outlast the relationship. And it's not because Sears is building better washers and dryers. It's because people aren't following the blueprint God gave to having a happy home. I don't know if you're at all like me, but we've all had this experience. We, as daddies, for Christmas or birthdays or whatever, you know, the children, especially when they're younger, they get a gift. And they get a gift, they unwrap it, and oh, they're excited. This is something they've always wanted. But they notice that it's still in pieces and assembly is required. And so, like any child, they turn to daddy for help. Oh, daddy, he puts his Superman outfit on. He comes out of the phone book. He says, "You kids, step aside. Daddy will put this thing together for you." First thing we come upon is the instruction manual. Man, daddy don't need that stupid thing. Over the shoulder it goes. Daddy wades into this deal. 45 minutes later, there's four parts left over. Stupid thing doesn't work. Getting fussed at by the wife. Kids are bawling because you wrecked their toy. Oh, and you're dropping your pride and going to the garbage can and getting the instruction manual. Amen? Most of the time, I tell you what I've seen. Marriage counseling ain't listening to a thing you're saying when they're getting ready to get married. Most couples are willing to listen 6 months after the honeymoon's over, and then, oh, then they're willing to listen. Listen, when it comes to the home, God has an instruction manual. God has a blueprint on how to have a happy home. And it's in His Word. You want God to build your home, you do it by obeying His Word. And He has an outline in the Bible on how to have a little bit of heaven on earth. Let's look with me tonight. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be preaching out of that all week this week. And the time we're with you, Lord willing, we shall. God's blueprint for a happy home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I wonder tonight if you're laboring in vain and all your energies are getting you nowhere as a family. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see God's blueprint for a happy home. I'm going to outline it right now. And then we're going to get started in the message. In Ephesians chapter 5, begins at verse number 22. Here's the four messages. I'm going to read the text, and then we're going to just come back and underline the four messages I'll be preaching with you the next few days. Verse 22 says this: "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleansing with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that every one of you in particular shall love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then verse 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The four thoughts this week can be outlined as such. Verse 22 is tonight. It's simply a two-word title, wives submit. Tomorrow night in verse 25, we see husbands love. Chapter 6, verse 1, we see children obey. And then in chapter 6, verse 4, we see fathers provoke not. This entire outline is repeated in Colossians 3 in the exact order God gives it in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. It's so important he states it twice in his word. Notice what he does. He turns to each individual in the home and he gives them a specific assignment. It's not the only thing they're to do, but it's to be the one thing they give the most energy to doing. If you could, it's a recipe for a happy home. And the secret to this is one little phrase I like to use. You want to have a happy home? You want to see the most gotten out of your relationship as a couple, as a family? Mind your own business. Tonight I'm preaching on wives submit. Now, sir, you may not do this, but don't you be tempted to do this? Don't you go ahead and listen to this message as we finish up tonight? You say, oh, on the drive home. You're driving home, hon? What'd you think of that message? She'll be quiet. She ain't going to say nothing. She's trying to obey it. She ain't going to be tempted to get in a fight with you over this thing. And she's just sitting there in silence. You say, you know what? I enjoyed that message. Pastor, I enjoyed that message so much. God has laid on my heart to give you a daily report card. At the end of every day, I'm going to have a submission report card filled out. I'm going to go ahead and grade you what I think. You'll be sitting on your little old pillow when you go to bed at night. Oh, that's not your business, sir. That's her business. And likewise, tomorrow night, ma'am, don't you be tempted to go be the feedback champion to your husband every day on how he loves you. That's not your business. That's his business. Amen? Now, why am I saying this? I'm an old farm boy from Minnesota, and it's amazing how many times we'd sit across a fence and we'd stare at someone else's field, and we'd look at all the weed seed and all the cockle burr, and we'd go, man, look at that field. Man, that's a mess. And we got as many weeds in ours. Most of us know what's right for someone else. We got a problem doing what's right for us. Most of us can tell us what so-and-so ought to be doing for the Lord, what they ought to change. We won't make a list on ourselves. Here's what I found out. If you give half your energy to minding your business, God will mind His all right. He might just bless you with a happy home. Amen? Home is under attack today. Christian homes as well. It's not always the pressures without. It's the disobedience within that often destroys them. Let's consider tonight this thought that we find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Let's begin the thought tonight. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Follow with me as I read. God gives the blueprint here. He gives the instructions. He turns to the ladies first, and he gives them a primary assignment. He literally says to them, this is your goal here. This is what you're going to have to work on. He says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. He gives the reason why. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In verse 22, we read these words, wives, submit. Who? He turns to the wife. And to whom am I to do this? He answers it, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, we're living in a day today where I can just read those two words, wives, submit. And you can just cut the tension. I mean, you can just feel people just blow up. And I just read the Word of God. Amen? By the way, I didn't say wives submit. God did. You know, let's just put it in context. But we're living in a day of so much self-assertiveness, so much independence, so much of feminazism out there that, I mean, I'm telling you, you just say, wives submit. Oh, man, it's like you're putting a bullseye on your chest for everybody to shoot at. Yet God said it. He knows what's best for your home. He says, wives, submit. Somebody says, man, what a curse. How long has that one been around? That's how long it's been around. Go to Genesis. It's part of the curse. Go there with me. Genesis. And ladies, you say, I don't like that submission thing. Well, listen now, it's part of the curse. Y'all pulled the lever on this, all right? And get upset at what came out of the machine when you pull the lever. You gave it to yourself in Genesis chapter 3. And notice how long it's been around. God is dishing out the responsibilities here. He's dishing out the penalties. This is the penalty phase of the decision that was made. And in the penalty phase, the great judge is handing out the penalties. And listen to what one of them is. Genesis 3, verse 16. He says, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. How long's it been around? Ever since the fall. God's due order is the husband is the head of the home, and the wife is to be in submission to him. That's God's due order. And yet in the midst of that due order, I want to tell you something, ladies, and this is important to note. Just because you're under the man doesn't mean you're not as valuable as he is. I want to say that again. Just because in the home God's order is the husband's the head and the wife is under him does not mean you have less value. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. I want to just give this to you. Just kind of introducing this thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you don't know me by now, I love to beat around the bush. I never come right at something. And so we'll just hit this one here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice God's due order is noted here. And in it, you'll notice something. Value is different than order. Value has nothing to do with order here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, watch this in verse number 3. God says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now in chapter 3, you have God's chain of command. And notice who's on the very top as far as authority and as far as leadership goes. Who's number one? God is. Who's under him? Christ, the Son. Who's under the Son? The man. And then who's under the man? The woman. And right there, the lady says, oh, see that? I'm the bottom of the food chain. I see it. There it is. I just knew I wasn't important. Now hold on just a sec. I want to ask you a question. Who's more important, God the Father or God the Son? Who's more valuable? You say, well, neither one of them. They're equal. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says he's equal with God. He is God. And yet being equal, he recognizes the order that works. And the Son has chosen to submit to the Father. Though he thought not robbery to be equal with God, his value's the same. But the order that works is different. Y'all with me? Don't you fall, ladies, don't you fall in the lie that you're less valuable just because you submit to your husband. That's what's being said out there today in the world. And by the way, you find it in churches today. People aren't taking God's due order and following it, and they're wrecking their homes is what they're doing. They're turning it into a monster and making a mess. But God's due order is the wife is to be submitted to the husband. Though it came as a curse, I want to say this also as we move into the thoughts. Submission is not weird. Submission is not weak. Submission is not wimpy. According to the Word of God, submission, that word some bow up about, submission is a God-blessed and exalted spirit and attitude to possess. The book of James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Submission is God's promotion program. Submission is something God blesses. He doesn't curse it. Go to Romans very quickly with me. I want to show you something. This is for all of us. The principles that we're looking at tonight are for your and my Christianity, not just simply for your home. I want to remind you tonight that your Christianity began in submission. In Romans chapter 10, watch this, Paul gives his heart concerning his people. In Romans chapter 10, he speaks of the Jew. His heart is for him in verse number 1 of Romans 10. Listen to his cry. Romans 10, 1, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Watch this now, verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Here's the verse. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, here it comes, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You say, I have a problem with submission. Then you've got a problem with salvation. Because your and my Christianity began in submission. There came a day where we realized we were wrong. We realized we were bankrupt. We realized God was right. And we went ahead and said, I was wrong. And we did not stride into a palace and demand our rights. We kneeled at a cross. Our Christianity began not arrogantly demanding, but it began by kneeling at the finished work of Jesus Christ. We submitted ourselves to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Submission isn't just for women. Submission is for men. Submission spiritually is for all of us. You will not get saved without submission. You must yield and humble yourselves and admit you not the answer, but He is. And so our Christianity began in submission. Amen? I mean, I've met people argue with me, and I just tell them, you're lost. You ain't even saved. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue who you are and who God is. But if you ever figure it out, your response will be to kneel at a cross and to beg Christ for mercy. It began in submission. Amen? Now, where's your Christianity going to end up? You go to Revelation. What's the posture in heaven? They are kneeling round the throne. And they're saying, worthy is the Lamb. And all the posture in heaven is a posture of submission to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Your Christianity began in submission. Your Christianity is going to end in submission. Therefore, it ought to be seen between those two points where you live out your life here for Christ in this earth. Amen? It ought to be seen, first of all, in the church. Of all the places submission ought to be seen, it ought to be seen in the local church. Go to Hebrews 13. Go to Hebrews 13 with me. I'm talking tonight about God's blueprint for a happy home, but every principle that'll honor and bless your home will honor and bless your life, and will honor and bless your church family, and will honor and bless Jesus Christ Himself as you live for Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, submission ought to be seen, first of all, in our local church. Hebrews chapter 13, watch this in verse number 7. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. We're told to do three things for the man of God in the local church. In verse 7, we're told to remember him. That means pray for them. Verse number 17, we're told to obey them. In verse 24, we're told to salute or respect them. In verse 17, here's the verse. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Christian submission ought to be seen in your local church toward your pastor. Amen? Notice the inference in that verse. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. You see the inference, sir? This submission thing isn't just for wives. And the question I have tonight, men, who has the rule over you? The inference is somebody will. God will have a constituted ecclesiastical authority in your life to guide you, nurture you, direct you, and you need to seriously take that as from the Lord. We're living in a day of judges. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. Nobody wants to yield to the authority of anybody. No one wants to be accountable to the man of God. And yet God says, obey them that have the rule over you. Amen? Ought to be seen in churches toward leadership and toward your pastor. You say, well, does that mean my pastor's a dictator? Listen, I'm going to give you some practical stuff tonight that will help you in all this area, but I'm going to tell you what your responsibility is. Obey the man of God. That's your responsibility. Obey him and pray for him and respect him and teach your children to do the same. We are to submit ourselves one to another. Amen? You know what Open Door Baptist Church ought to be known for? Not as a church to see who can get over, but to see who can get under the quickest. Y'all going to have a fight here, it ought to be who's holding the door, not who can get through it. Amen? Y'all with me? That ought to be what you're known for. You ought to be servants like Jesus Christ was. You ought to submit yourselves one to another. You ought to serve one another. You ought to see what you can do for someone else, not what they can get to do for you. This submission ought to be seen in this local church. Amen? Ought to be there. You hear church fights, man, we got a church split going like crazy right now in our church up back up in Alaska. I tell you, it's a knockdown dragout. And there's a Diotrephes that loveth to have the preeminence. And that's what the whole problem is. He's not obeying Hebrews 13. And he's ripping up the house of God. That ought not to be, amen? Doesn't exalt Christ at all. Our submission ought to be seen in our churches. Here's another one. Our submission ought to be seen in our community. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Talking tonight about God's blueprint for a happy home. I'm speaking specifically to wives, but here now in a general sense to all of us as God's children. We ought to be known for our yielding spirit. We ought to be known for our submissive spirit toward authority. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what's said here. 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 13. The Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Look up, here the Bible says, Christian, your my submission ought to be seen toward constituted authority. Could we say it this way? Toward government. I don't know what's going on out there, but listen, there's a spirit out there that the Christians are above the law. That's strange. The Bible says we ought to submit to every ordinance of man for the king's sake, or for the Lord's sake, whether the king or unto governors. I don't understand radar detectors in Christians' cars. I don't understand that. Y'all with me? I'm being dead serious. I don't understand that. I know it's funny and we joke about it, but I guarantee you when you're getting a ticket from the trooper, you ain't giving him a gospel tract and telling him how much Jesus loves him. Y'all with me? We ought to be known as law-abiding citizens. We ought not to be known as arrogant insurrectionists, but as law-abiding citizens. You say, but the government's got some dumb laws. Always has. Always has. But those laws will test you and often show you your heart. But never forget this. There is still a king that holds king's hearts. And it's a faith issue. You say, I'm supposed to obey government and everything they ask me to do. I'm going to give you the formula in a bit. But we ought to be known as those that are obedient to the law of God, the laws of our land. Amen? That'd be what we're known for. We just hear a few months back, we were in a church in Maryland, and the pastor there had gone ahead and put in a request for a radio tower. He's going to do gospel radio and so forth, and he wanted to have like a 150-foot tower and all. And his next-door neighbor didn't like that. Got a team of lawyers. His next-door neighbor was on the city council. And before that thing was done, he'd swayed that thing against the pastor. There was nothing wrong with what the pastor asked. He swayed it against him. He got that tower down to 80 feet, wouldn't allow him to have the 150. And what was done was wrong, but the government authorities did it and all. And I said, well, pastor, what'd you do? He said, man, we're just praying for him. I says, you know, you didn't go ahead and lose your tip. No, he said, the guy's got a soul. I'm praying we win them to the Lord one day. He said, by the way, we just finished our 80-foot tower, and we get the same spread, we get the same distance if we put up 150. Man, that's refreshing. Amen. That's refreshing. Y'all coming into a possibly another building program? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hope I didn't blow the cover on that. Man, you don't think there's government? Go and do something like build. You find every bureaucrat you can think of. Pitch a tent like we do, man. Fire marshals, health marshals, food and safety marshals. Man, they show up out of the woodwork. You say, what do you do, Brother Dave? You tell me, well, too bad. You just keep your stupid ordinance. I'll pitch my tent. No. They want me to go ahead and yield. I yield. Amen? It isn't always easy. But God says submission ought to be seen in our lives. Amen? Pretty quiet in here. And then thirdly, it ought to be seen in our homes. Go back to Ephesians 5. Let's continue the thought this evening. Ephesians chapter 5, God's giving the blueprint. He repeats it twice, and Ephesians 5 is the first time we see it. He says this, Ephesians 5 in verse 22, he says, wives, submit. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, do what? Wives, submit. I've got a question tonight for all of us, but ladies in particular. Are you subject or are you submitted? You say, Brother Dave, I've never heard that question. What do you mean? Let me ask you again. Are you subject or are you submitted? There is a difference. Let me give it to you very quickly. Subjection is this: the state of being under the power or control of another. That's subjection. Submission is different. Submission is the state of yielding to the power or control of another. I know wives tonight that are subject to their man, but they're not submitted to him. I know church members tonight that are subject to their pastor, but they're not submitted to him. I know citizens, Christians in our land that are subject to the government, but they're not submitted to it. Subjection is being under that authority. Submission is yielding to that authority from your heart. The difference is your heart. And the test is a simple one. What you do when authority does something you disagree with. That's the test. That's where you'll find out if you're subject or submitted. Is what you do when authority does something you don't agree with. I'll never forget this come home to me a few years ago in our church. We were going through a building program. It was about six years ago. Now, I was the right-hand man to Pastor Watson up there. Been with him for, at that point, about 7 or 8 years. And in my heart, Brother Mady, I felt I was submitted to Pastor Watson. But we got into that church building program, and I began to realize that I wasn't truly submitted. I was only subject to him. The test came in the building program as the work began to progress. The day came where Pastor announces he's going to pick the colors for the new building. Now, you got to understand the background so you understand where I'm coming from. Pastor Watson, bless his heart, he's a Missouri boy, nothing but a high school diploma, loves the Lord, nothing fancy about Brother Watson. But he had an old building. We had a building there we were in. And I'll never forget when I come in that building the first time I came, the old church building a few years earlier. You walk into a church building, I'm telling you, it was a weird-looking place. The carpet, hon, help me. The carpet was orange, burnt orange. The walls were olive or lime green. And the brick facing, there was red brick facing up near the altar. So you got burnt orange carpet, you got olive or lime green walls, and you got brick. I mean, it looks like somebody smoking ditch weed from the 60s. That's exactly what it looked like. Everything up but the bell bottoms. And I remember the first thing I said was, hey, man, good to be here, but who in the world picked the colors? And the response was, oh, Pastor Watson. Okay. And so here we are, man. We're in a $540,000 cash-on-the-barrel building program, and Pastor wants to pick the colors. And you know, by the time that thing was done, I didn't buck him publicly, but I'm telling you, I mean, I was an undercurrent on that thing from the instant announcement came. And some of you would be too. You go, oh, you got to be kidding me. Pastor Ray, he can pick some things. He ain't picking them. And boy, I was an undercurrent. It got so bad, that it almost got control of the spirit of that church. And I had to publicly stand up and apologize to the church and get right. Let me give you a formula. Pastor Mady, you're going to love this. Your pastor, let me tell you, your pastor has the right to be stupid. I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, he exercises that one all the time. Your pastor has the right to be stupid. He wants pink toilet paper hanging the wrong way. That's his business. He wants lime green walls. So what? You say, how can you say that? Here's why. Our submission is based on this. Here's the principle. You obey constituted authority in everything they ask you to do. Until they ask you to do something that breaks conscience with a higher authority. Your pastor has a right to be stupid. He does not have a right to be unbiblical, immoral, illegal. But he got the right to be stupid all day long. How's he going to learn to lead? Amen? And husbands, you got the right to be stupid too. How's she going to learn to lead? But you don't have the right to be illegal, immoral, or unethical, or unbiblical. Let me give you the practical one. I said this in a church one time, and I'm telling you, I thought they were going to remove me. So don't sweat it, guys. It's not that bad. But as Christians in America, here's the question. Here's what I threw out. I says, where in your Bible do we have the right to keep and bear arms? Get you thinking, aren't I? I'm being serious now. Where's that a Christian right? We said that our Constitution. Listen, can I just remind you something? Your Constitution ain't anywhere near the Word of God. Not even the same level. It's a man-made document. I'm sorry, it's not God-breathed. It's changing all the time in its interpretation. It's never been interpreted right from the day it come along. It's been in the hands of kings and governors that have twisted it to their will. Such is the way of wicked men. But the Word of God is inerrant, infallible, and it is the Word of God. Listen, the right to keep and bear arms doesn't violate my Christian faith. I don't sin against God by not having a handgun sitting in my motorhome. Y'all with me? Amen? You say, well, I don't like your formula. Well, give me yours. You see, what works here has to work in Canada. What works in Canada has to work in France. God calls you to the foreign mission field. They tell you to check your iron in at the gate. And you say, no, bless God, it's my right. Woo! You're into a jail ministry, son. You can flaunt your little constitutional rights all you want, but you just checked into a jail. Y'all with me? And if government told me tomorrow, you got to hand your handgun over. Listen, there's a part of me. Don't look at me weird. I'm a Marine, all right? I just handled that one there. I've done a little more shooting than most of you have. There's a part of me that's going to be a tough one for me to swallow. But in my heart, I will not say I'm sinning against God by obeying them. But if tomorrow they said your children must learn evolution, you can no longer teach them the Word of God, I'll go to jail for that one. Because I feel as if I sinned against God to obey them. Amen? So if your authority, ladies, your man, church members, your pastor, Christians, your government, ask you to do something, you need to ask, does this cause me to sin against God? And if the answer is no, then submit! And yield to that authority as unto the Lord. You say, why? Because God said so. And He'll bless you for your obedience. You don't need to figure out how it works. Trust me, it works. And so God says, wives, submit. The test of obedience is when authority does something you disagree with. Some ladies have said, I never have a problem with my husband. Man, I'm submissive to him. I never have a problem. And I look at him and I say, I know why. Because he's doing everything you think he ought to do. But let him do something you disagree with. Just a personal decision he makes you don't like. Now we're going to find out your heart. Now we're going to see if it's subject, if it was truly submitted. Amen? Wives, submit. Go back to our text, Ephesians 5. He says, wives, submit, verse 22, unto yourselves unto your own husbands. And then he adds this, as unto the Lord. You know what that means, ladies, in your home, this thing you bring to your marriage, the spirit of submission, this is the thing you'll have to work the hardest at. He says when you bring that to your husband as to him, you're doing it as unto the Lord. And that literally means this, as if he is Jesus Christ. You say, you've got to be kidding me. No, and here's why. Because the invisible relationship you have with your Savior can only be manifested by visible relationship to your husband. What I mean is this, submission is an intangible. It's intangible. You can't see it. You can only demonstrate it. Amen? You can't see faith. You say, I have faith. That's what James is saying. Oh, great, you have faith. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, an intangible can never be seen. I can't see your faith until it's demonstrated in a decision you make. I can't see your submission until it's demonstrated toward authority that's visible. And if you do not demonstrate submission to visible authority, I doubt your submission toward invisible. That's what he's saying. Go to 1 Peter. Watch how this plays out. Ladies, God is saying to you in your home, there's something you can bring to your home that he'll bless you for bringing into that marriage, into that relationship, and that is a spirit of submission to your man. Allowing him to lead, backing him in the decisions, praying for him instead of bucking him. And if what he's asking you to do is not illegal, immoral, unethical, or unbiblical, then for the Lord's sake, obey him. And ask God to give you a heart that wants to do so. In 1 Peter chapter 3, watch this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, let's go to chapter 2 actually, just back one chapter. You see, the spirit of submission is manifested and demonstrated so clearly in Jesus Christ's life. Watch this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Bible says this, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing, now he's just spoken about submitting to government. He's talking to Christians, he says, you submit to government as unto the Lord. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now watch this in verse 18. He now turns to employees. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. If you're employed by somebody, you know what the Lord's saying? You respect your employer. You say, but he's a jerk. He says, you respect that guy too. You say he's a great, you respect that one too. No matter what he is, your job and your business is to yield to him. Amen? And he's saying, why? He says, because my name's on the line. You're not your own. You got a Christian label. You represent Daddy. Now act like one of my children. And my children submit. They don't rebel. Watch, he says, here's why. Because my son submitted. He didn't rebel. In verse number 21, for he even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Then it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Notice the entire emphasis here is Jesus Christ yielding to the will of the Father, and it's the spirit of submission. So he lays this groundwork of submission for Christian living. He uses the Savior's example, and now he comes to the wives in chapter 3, and watch what he says to you. Likewise, that means all this I said before, ladies, this is the reference point. Submission, submission from the Savior, submission to authority. Here's your reference point, verse 1 of chapter 3. Ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or lifestyle of the wife. The setting here is a lost man and a saved wife. And he says, ladies, you want to win your husband to the Lord? You don't win him by being a battle axe. You don't win him by preaching. You're going to win him this way through a submissive spirit toward him. And watch this, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or wearing a gold, or putting on apparel. He says, that's not the real you. That's not the focus. The focus is what's inside, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Ladies, what wins the lost man? And what wins him is the submissive, meek, chaste, quiet spirit of that wife. He ain't going to read the Bible. He's reading you. And what he sees of you tells him what your Savior is and who he is. You know, it's the only time in your Bible, the Bible says you can win somebody without the Word of God. It's the only time. Other places you need the Word of God. But now you become the Bible and he reads it. And notice what he sees. He sees that submissive spirit. An empowered woman in 1 Peter 3:1 is found. It says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by," what? "The conversation of the wife." Won without the word. God is saying this, ladies. The power you have in your life to influence others is in being a lady and being a meek and quiet spirit, not a battle axe. Let me just give you a hint why. Men by nature are competitors. God's put that in us. We go out and slay the dragons. We build the castles. We go out and claim land. That's the way we are. God put that in us. If we were all like that, it'd be the biggest fight you've ever seen. And men and women were all, it'd be a mess. And God has put in the man's heart to protect the weaker vessel, to nurture and guard the one that, not weaker in character, but just more dainty and a completer, you know. And the day you become a competer, ladies, you lose his heart. I want to say that again. The day you become a competer, you lose his heart. The day you step out of the meek and chaste conversation, you lose his heart. Listen, my wife and I, we've had our times, we've had our little discussions. And you know what? I love it if she'll just get as unspiritual as I am when I'm ticked off. I love it. I know how to win that battle. I know what to say. I talk about her mother and I'll get her in tears just like that. I know what to say to win the fight. But when she goes ahead and won't get in the ring with me, she goes ahead and sees me for what I am, just an unspiritual slob, and she's just sick of it, and she goes bawling and weeping to the prayer closet, "Hey, get back here! Don't you do that! Get back here! I can't handle that one! That ain't fair!" Because she brings out of me that desire to protect her, because she's a weaker vessel. You with me? I'm just giving you some practical here. And ladies, you're either a completer or a competitor, you have the vote. It'll be determined by your submission to your man. Go to Titus chapter 2 and watch this. You're to submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, as if he is Jesus Christ. And you notice here in Titus chapter 2, the importance of that reason is given. In Titus chapter 2, notice what's said here in verse number 1. In Titus 2:1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Look up just for a moment. As soon as we hear sound doctrine, our little antenna go up. Hoo-hoo, sound doctrine. Oh, we're going to sit in a pastor's class. Ooh, we're going to hear about harmardiology, soteriology, ecclesiology, eschatology. Ooh, we're going to get the deeper things in Christianity. But Titus chapter 2 has nothing about it. Harmardiology, soteriology, ecclesiology. It simply has everything about livology. It's not orthodoxy, it's orthopraxy. It's how you live. Watch, he gives the list, verse 2. Here comes a sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. He goes on to list for them how they ought to live. Verse 3, here's what the aged women ought to do. He tells them how they ought to live. That's sound doctrine. And then in verse 4, he says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Ladies, do you understand tonight that in your home, if you choose to be the battle axe, if you choose to fight for leadership, if you choose to be the competer, not the completer. Do you realize that you blaspheme the Word of God? Ah, Brother Dave, I sure wish you'd be a little more direct. You say, well, but I love the Savior. I'm yielded to Him, but I don't yield to my husband. Then you lie. You do not speak the truth. Because how can you say you submit to an authority you've never seen and you refuse to yield to the one you have? You see, what submission is a step of faith. That's all it is. It's an absolute step of faith. And this thing of submission, I'll tell you what it's like. Notice, go to Ephesians 5. Notice God is so clear on this. You say, well, how much should I yield? Listen, if it's not illegal, if it's not immoral, if it's not unethical, if it's not unbiblical, then obey Him. That's your part. That's your business. That's what you can control. You should know by now you can't control Him anyhow. So why don't you give your efforts to that which you can control, and in changing yourself, you will influence Him and have the greatest opportunity to change Him if you be what you ought to be first. You say, how much? Ephesians gives us the answer as we close tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Now watch verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You say, you have got to be kidding me. I'm to submit. I'm to yield. I'm to give way to Him in everything. Of course, using the formula. Amen. It's not illegal. It's not unbiblical. It's not immoral. It's not unethical. It's just stupid. I'm to yield to Him and everything. Uh-huh. That's what God said. You know what it's like? It's the closest illustration I can give. Submitting to constituted authority on whatever level that may be, government, church, family, whatever it may be. It's like riding on the back of a motorcycle. It is the most out of control, scary experience you will ever experience. Amen? Who's ever ridden on the back of a motorcycle? Y'all idiots, man. That is freaky. I have no problem driving. I had a Kawasaki 750 with a windjammer fairing while I was in the Marines. In fact, I shared an illustration on that 2 years ago when I preached the 8 o'clock service here in the morning on prayer. I got no problem driving them things. Oh, I'll never forget. This day I'll never forget my first ride on the back of a motorcycle. Oh, that is an out of control scary feeling. Because whither He goes, you follow. He puts it in a ditch, boopity ba boop, you're in a ditch with Him. He messes up, you're messing up. But honey, when you married Him, you hooked your wagon to His stuff and you said you'd go with Him wherever He went. Quit trying to change the rules. Well, I thought the ride was only going to be under 20. Too late. Well, I thought He'd stick to pavement, not gravel. Too late. I'm telling you, that's what submission is like. Yielding to constituted authority is like going for a ride on the back of a motorcycle. It's scary, but it produces two things that are so positive if you'll hold on. Number one, I've never ridden on the back of a bike, but I didn't get closer to the driver. Y'all with me? I hugged that guy. I mean, he's a guy, too. I hugged him like a cockle burr on a hound dog, man. I got as close to him as we was hugging on each other on that ride. I tell you the truth, and man, if you'll get in a spirit of submission to your pastor, you won't pop off, but you'll pray, and it'll draw you closer to God's man. It'll draw your heart closer to him as he goes through the decisions maybe you don't understand. And ladies, if you'll pray for your man instead of pop up and try to direct the ship, hey, it'll draw you closer to him during the ride, and you'll bond closer. That's what submission will do. Number one, you'll get closer if you'll submit. You already figured this out, ma'am. Submission didn't make your man get closer to you. Or lack of submission didn't make your man get closer to you. Your lack of submission in your home hasn't made your marriage sweeter. It's put a wedge between you and the driver. Hey, man, you crawling over him to get the handlebars hadn't given you a better ride either. Hey, man, you're kicking gravel out of your teeth. See, Brother Dave, but it's a scary ride. It's fine. You said I do. Now do. But if you'll submit, number one, you'll get closer to him. But number two, second thing always happened. Pastor on the back of a motorcycle, I not only got closer to the driver, I prayed really hard. I was a prayer warrior by the time we got done with the ride. I was confessing sins I didn't even have just in case I had them, didn't know about it. I'm telling you, I was getting right with God because all I could see was laying that sucker down at 55. And you know what will happen, ladies? If you choose to submit to your man, not just subject yourself to him, really submit to him, you'll find the Spirit of God will draw you closer to him. And you'll find that you'll develop a prayer life in relationship with Christ stronger than you've ever had. You see, it takes no character to assert your rights. It takes no character to pop off and grab the wheel. But it takes real character to pray and love your man in the midst of who he is. And you know what we need in America today? Christians with more character. Mommies and wives that are prayer warriors. Not just control freaks. Amen? That's what we need. Daddies that are prayer warriors and not just dictators. We need more character in our homes. So God says, blueprint for a happy home. Let's go back and we'll close with this. Wives, verse 22, Ephesians 5, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Hold on tight, ladies. He's your man. And then pray real hard. And I believe if you'll live and you'll pray like God wants you to, that if a man who's lost can be won to the Lord, who does not care for the things of God, your testimony can so influence a lost husband to get saved. I believe your man who is saved can be influenced just as well. May you give your focus to what God calls you to do. And that is, wives, submit. As unto the Lord in everything. And may God build your home. May you not be a foolish woman that plucketh it down with her hands. But may you be a wise woman tonight that allows God to build your home. Let's stand and commit these thoughts to the Lord this evening. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We begin the thoughts on the home. The relationship between a husband and wife in particular, and wives specifically tonight, we addressed what God desires you to bring to your marriage. That's a spirit of submission. To hold on tight to your man and pray real hard. To support him in his decisions. To yield to him as if he is the Lord. Understand that there's a blessing in submission, that God will exalt you and build your home if you'll obey Him. I pray tonight, as this message has come forth, ladies, it'll be something that'll stay in your heart. That you'll be the completer God called you to be and not the competer. Don't you listen to those silly women out there. Those that are unsaved, the Hollywood idols, the things out there that would try to say this is what real womanly living is. Don't you listen to them. They don't have a clue about a joyful, happy home. Not one clue. Nor do they produce them. You follow the Word of God and the blueprint He's given you, and surely He will bless His home. He's never been a debtor to any individual. May tonight God be building your home. Father, thank You, Lord, this evening for Your Word. And Father, as it's gone forth, search our hearts individually. May You find in each of us a spirit of submission. Lord, not only the wives to their husbands, but Lord, each of us as Your children to constitute an authority You've allowed to be over us. Lord, may it not make us bitter, but may it make us better. Father, may we truly hold on tightly and pray very hard. Trust You, Father, the King who holds kings' hearts, to make things right and to work on behalf of our prayers. Bless Your people tonight. Bless our hearts and bless our homes, we pray. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the music plays softly. Just give you an opportunity to respond. Got a little time for response here. Maybe you want to come tonight and just pray for your home. Husbands, maybe you want to pray for your wife. Wife, maybe you want to pray for your husband, your man. Surely, as husbands, we need prayer. We need to know our wives are praying for us. And it will cause us to be very sober about the decisions we make in our homes. Maybe as a church member tonight, you want to come pray for your pastor. Leadership can be a lonely post. We need Aaron's and we need hers holding up our hands. We need godly men that want to get under, not get over. Don't be a Diotrephes tonight. You can tear up so much when you're that. Loveth to have the preeminence. Don't. Yield to God's man. Pray for God's man. Maybe at your workplace there's just authority there that's hard to deal with. A boss, it's a jerk, and there's bosses out there like that. Listen, why don't you be the model Christian? Show them what Jesus would do. Why don't you, for God's sake, be a testimony and a Bible right in front of Him and put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Allow the Spirit of God to work in his heart. Kill him with kindness. Heap coals of fire upon his head that Christ might be lifted up. You say you're a Christian. Live it. Live it. Live it. God can speak to him through you. You come. It's your opportunity. It's your invitation. You come. If you need to pray, you come. Lift your heart to the Lord. Maybe tonight you're here and you're not even saved. You hear me speak of submitting to the righteousness of Christ, but in your heart you know you've never done so. Wouldn't it be great tonight to yield your soul to a faithful Creator who can commit and keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day? Maybe tonight you ought to yield to the finished work of Christ tonight. Receive Him as Savior. Whatever the case, you come. I think we'll sing an invitation song. I'm going to turn the invitation at this point over to Pastor Stewart to do whatever he wills and whatever he desires and senses. And then God's had his way in your heart. I know we'll close the service out. So Pastor Stewart, you come. What page number, brother?
371.
371. Let's go there. Let God speak to our hearts as we sing, Pastor.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Good word today. Trust that God has spoken to you in a very clear and profound way, and that you know what He is desiring to do in your life, and that you would look for Him to perform it. The receptacles are by the door. We'd ask you to remember the summer door. So also take the time to stop by their table and to avail yourself of some of the material that they have there. Pray for them as they minister this week, that they would say the very things that we need to hear. Great truth tonight, the distinction between subjection and submission. And there is a whole lot more here tonight than just instruction for the wife. And we appreciate it, Brother Dave. Well, let's pray as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you this evening that you've chosen through the foolishness of preaching not only to save people, but to bring the truth to your people. And Father, we're thankful for the fact that your sheep hear your voice. Lord, what has taken place here tonight is more than the communication of a man. For those that have had ears to hear, each one of us have heard very specific things from you that you desire for us to understand, that you desire for us to yield to and claim by faith, believing that you'll work in our life to bring them to pass. And Father, might our hope and our trust be in you tonight. And Father, for all that are willing, might you not disappoint them. Father, indeed, bless the Summer Dorse that are here. Help us to be a blessing to them as a church family. Lord, we pray that you would help them with their health as they're here, keep them healthy and strong. And Lord, we would ask that tomorrow night that we would have a good crowd, that people would choose to be here, and that once again you'd speak to us. And we look forward tomorrow night to hear the challenge that you're going to give to us as husbands and men. And Father, we'll be grateful for it, for we pray and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you.